Hey y'all, we are back for episode 2 of our bonus episodes between season 1 and season 2 of The Debrief. We are excited to be back in the full swing of things. In just 2 weeks, on September 14th, we will drop our very first episode for season 2 of The Debrief. So please join us for that. But please enjoy this episode that we recorded a few weeks back with one of our summer interns talking about a conversation we had outside Planned Parenthood. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy. We just got back from sidewalk counseling outside Planned Parenthood, and now we're debriefing. Join us. We are Created Equal, and we're inviting you to debrief with us. Hey, y'all. I'm Lexi.
Hey, everyone. It's Seth, and today we have a familiar but critical topic, sidewalk counseling and the weight of it all.
And joining us today, we have a justice writer slash now summer intern, Ethan.
Welcome, Ethan.
I want some clapping noise in the background.
Yeah, I know. Can you add that in there, Maggie? Producer Maggie?
Please, I'll be so much more fun. Ethan, thank you so much for coming
on. Ethan looks uncomfortable now.
Thank you for having me. Sorry, Ethan.
Sorry.
Only a little bit uncomfortable.
Okay, that's fine. You probably should feel a little
uncomfortable. A small element of discomfort's all right.
That's okay. So, Ethan, this is the last week of the summer internship, but yes. You have been here for now a little over 7 weeks. How has the summer internship been for you?
It has been phenomenal. I'd say it's been one of the best experiences of my life.
Okay.
Unpack that, right? Like, that's an important, a big superlative, like a best experience, one of the best experiences of your life. So why? What do you mean by that?
Yes. So number one, all the relationships I've formed with the interns and getting to know the staff better. The outreach, I've really enjoyed that as well. And then just the content during lecture time. All of the guest speakers have been really, really great. And I've really enjoyed getting to know some of these bigger names in the pro-life movement and the things that they bring to the table and specialize in.
What do you think, like, a few of the highlights of things you've learned? What are, like, the biggest, oh, I didn't know this. I know for me, going into the summer internship, I thought I knew way more than I did. And then I realized, wow, I'm so ignorant. But was that like the same experience for you?
Yes. There's a lot of stuff that I have like a baseline of knowledge for.
He wasn't quite as ignorant, Lexi.
Yeah, I know. Nobody is.
If we're going to put it like that. So there are a lot of things I had a baseline of knowledge for, but the summer internship really took that and just took a deep dive. One of the things I really enjoyed was really diving deep into the high-level philosophical personhood theory and arguments for abortion. And really going through with Seth and unpacking those and just seeing where are the assumptions that are being made in these arguments. And so I really enjoyed that.
So Ethan, for someone who hasn't been there in the classroom, what's that like? So is it just like me lecturing, you guys sit and listen? What does it look like in the classroom?
Yes, so Seth does not let us talk at all.
Yep, that's what happens.
The entire time. He loves the sound of his voice.
Absolutely.
Seth does a really good job at forcing us to interact. I think for some of us that may be harder than others, but he does a really good job of presenting the information and then just having a dialogue with us about the information. And I think that really is what helps cement things in people's minds, is when you have to engage with the idea yourself. And again, it's not just a lecture where you sit, you listen, and then you leave, but you actually have to grapple with the ideas yourself.
Which is at the heart of this whole podcast too, The Debrief, right? So we know we go to outreach, that's important, vital, but coming back here to discuss these conversations, to improve our outreach methods, to do a better job next time of saving babies, spreading the gospel, that's at the heart of Created Equal. We think the conversations even afterward or conversations around these topics are critical for all of us to do a better job as ambassadors for the babies and the kingdom.
Yeah, and so they haven't just been sitting in the classroom, but you've also been going out and doing outreach. It's pretty much like a 50-50 split, I would say, between going out and doing outreach and classroom work. Y'all even went to Washington, D.C. for a week a few weeks ago, and you went to Cincinnati for the day. You're going to be going up to Michigan for the day later on this week. But we want to talk about a specific outreach that you were on, and that was outside Planned Parenthood. Now, before we even get into that, what is your experience prior to the summer internship of sidewalk counseling outside of an abortion facility?
Sidewalk counseling myself, I had zero experience before the justice ride.
Okay.
I'd been with my parents to the abortion mill in Kettering, Ohio, and watched them sidewalk counsel and watch other people sidewalk counseling. But until the justice ride, I had never actually sidewalk counseled myself. So I was a little bit familiar with it, but had no practical experience.
Okay, yeah. Pause there for a second. So, like, compare it to then your first time somewhat counseling to your first time doing standard outreach talking about abortion. Did it feel different to you, like being outside an abortion facility rather than on a college campus downtown?
Yes, there is a much more of a sense of immediacy and urgency when you're outside an abortion mill, because there are actually people dying inside that building currently as you're standing there. When you're just having a conversation with a college student, you're talking about things that could happen, might happen, situations they might be in. But when you're in front of the abortion mill, it's right there and it's happening right now. And I think that has a lot of weight to it when you're there.
I agree with Ethan on that. Like, Lexi, you, I think, are maybe the opposite. You started sidewalk counseling first before outreach, right? So I did a lot of outreach first. So my first time sidewalk counseling was very nerve-wracking in a new way. I had grown up seeing it, going to the abortion facility, praying, but I hadn't done it until years after doing normal outreach that Created Equal does. And so that sense of urgency I felt too, Ethan, and I felt very just nerve-wracking. I know there are women on campus who could be pregnant or will be soon pregnant, so it still matters, but it's not the same when they're right now planning to kill their babies.
Yeah, and you feel almost a little bit more like, well, there's not much I can do right now. They're literally walking in as we speak. When you're having a conversation with somebody on a college campus, you could have them like talking to you for like 30 minutes to an hour, and you just feel like, wow, there's a way bigger likelihood of them changing their minds than when you've already maybe made your first payment for your abortion and everything like that. So I know that's really difficult, but going into that, what was your... kind of, I just kind of want to know, because I feel like people are really intimidated going out the first time. You're on your justice ride. What was your initial feeling? What did you experience when you had to sidewalk counsel for the very first time?
I know when you asked who wanted to sidewalk counsel, the thought in my head was, there's no way I want to do that. But at the same time, I also knew, and that's exactly why I am going to volunteer to do it, because I'm so afraid of it. So it was nerve-wracking. I could not speak for probably more than 90 seconds before running out of words. I've gotten to a point where I can talk longer than that, but definitely the first time you do it, you just hit a wall in your head. You're like, I don't know what else to say. And that can be really scary, because again, it's happening right there, and you're like, I need to talk to these women, but I'm running out of words. And so that can be difficult to deal with. But thankfully, you were switching us out fairly regularly. So I didn't have to deal with that too much.
Is it kind of paradoxical, Ethan? Because, like, yes, you run out of words, but also you only have like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's not a conversation where you have like 5 or 10 minutes to kind of work this out. So you've got to get it tight and so careful, right? That's a challenge.
Right. And so it's not even that you're running out of words, it's you're trying to find the right words.
Yeah, yes, right.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could talk all day to these women, but it's just finding out what they're going to say. Right. And I think we'll get into that later on after. But I want you to share with us, was this from last week or a few weeks ago outside Planned Parenthood? Tell us what happened out there.
Yeah, so last week, Team One was sidewalk counseling outside of Planned Parenthood. And Livy, one of my fellow interns, was posted in the back entrance to Planned Parenthood. And this young lady walked up to her, and she's actually engaged her in a conversation, which is, you know, rare. Usually the women don't stop to talk to you. And then she actually saw Livy lead the lady over to the pregnancy resource clinic. And then Livy stood outside the pregnancy resource clinic, waited for her to come out, and then started to walk back over to our side. When I saw this young lady, Brittany is her name, walk out of the pregnancy resource clinic and back over to the abortion mill. And while she was walking back over, Livy was trying to talk to her, you know, let's talk about this, you don't have to do this. And then my friend, fellow intern Elise, also tried to talk to her a little bit, but ultimately she just walked inside the Planned Parenthood and was in there for about an hour and a half before she came out. And then Lisbeth and Livy both tried to talk to her again, but one of the escorts escorted her all the way back to her car, which was parked down the road a ways from us. So that was kind of what happened that day. And I know for me, since I wasn't the one doing the sidewalk counseling, I had a bit of a different perspective, but it was really hard having to watch Livy and Elise be so close to convincing someone or someone possibly changing their mind about killing their child. And then for all of that just to crumble and ultimately she walked into the abortion mill. And we don't know what she's going to do in the future. She may, maybe something Livy and Elise said will stick with her and she will decide not to get an abortion. But in the moment, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Well, and like normally, so let's say you get someone to come talk to you. That's the first massive step, right?
Right.
Not to just go in the door as a Planned Parenthood. Then if you get them to the PRC, the Pregnancy Resource Center, you're like, yeah. There's this collective sigh of relief, right?
Yes.
Like they're in there now. It's going to be okay. Probably. Right?
Right.
You think that. So to have that flip is a massive twist.
Yes. It was definitely, you get this, you go up super high,
yes.
And then all of a sudden it just crashes.
Yes.
And I don't think anyone was expecting that day. Because I don't think, while I've been there, we've never actually had a woman stop and talk to us and go into the PRC. And so for that to happen this day, everybody was like, no way, this is actually happening. Mm. And then for her to walk back out into the abortion mill was devastating, I think, for everybody.
So. Lexi, I think all of our listeners know what a resource center is, but can you just briefly explain what they do in there for anyone who maybe isn't quite familiar?
Yeah, so a pregnancy resource center basically is there to help mothers in need.
No, not Elizabeth Warren says they torture people, right?
Yes, true. I know. At this point, if you haven't seen on the news anything about how they're making pregnancy resource centers out to be the most scary place you could ever enter in your entire life, then I don't know.
Yeah.
But basically, they do free ultrasounds, free pregnancy testing. That's pretty standard. Then different pregnancy centers do different things, but they usually help with like diapers, food, you know, clothing, parenting classes, even helping mothers after and fathers after they've had an abortion heal from that experience. And many other things will help them with setting an adoption plan and things like that. Or financially. Anyways, you could go on and on. They do
a lot of help.
But it's basically their free resources for mothers contemplating abortion and not contemplating abortion. But usually they have one right next to an abortion facility. So here in Columbus, next to the Planned Parenthood, there are actually two. And so it's always good to be able to refer them over to go get a free ultrasound. And that's what they were doing that day. Livy was saying, okay, we'll go over here. She went inside. Who knows what was going on inside there, but then and decided to go over to Planned Parenthood. And so I kind of want to talk to you about this. I know that you haven't done this very long. For me personally, whenever I started sidewalk counseling, the gravity, how much I felt like I could control the situation and how much I put the burden on myself was so much higher than I do now. And so I wonder if that will wear off on you a little bit. And I think it should, because it's not, at the end of the day, it's, you can't change anybody's mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so what is that feeling though? Of like hopelessness whenever you do see somebody going inside and you can't do anything. What are your thoughts about that? Like after, maybe in the moment you were really devastated, and it is a very devastating thing, but looking back, can you kind of see, hey, maybe this was a terrible thing that she did walk away, but I mean, we did what we could do.
Right. Yeah. I know when I first started sidewalk counseling, it was definitely really hard for me to separate the idea that I was personally responsible for every woman that I talked to going into the mill. It's very easy for you to feel like I'm the one responsible for them killing their child because I wasn't able to convince them to do otherwise. Throughout this summer, those feelings have thankfully started to lessen because, like you said, we say and do everything we possibly can to convince them not to go in, but ultimately it is up to God. God is the only one who can actually change their heart and change their mind. We can only offer the truth in love. So that I don't hold myself to the same level of responsibility for those women that I used to, which I think is the correct thing to do. We should still, you know, strive to the best of our ability to convince them not to go in. But we ultimately are not responsible for that decision that they make. Mm-hmm.
I think someone listening, though, might struggle with that, like how you get to that place. So how did you get there, though? Is it just like day in, day out experience? You finally just as a coping mechanism realize that's how you have to deal with it? Is it more of a theological basis for that? Like, how did you get there, Ethan, to that point?
I think there's definitely a theological basis for it, but I think it is a little bit of a coping mechanism. You can't sustain that level of guilt and responsibility for a long period of time before just snapping.
Yep.
That is too much for any one person to bear.
Well, and really, are you guilty of it, right? I mean, I know there's a whole sense of like, we have not done enough to save babies, to pass the right laws. That's very true. But if you're the one person outside crying out to them not to do this, I mean, think of the people just drive by and don't care about it, right? I'm not trying to say we're better than that. That's not the point, but like at least you're doing something, right?
Yeah, but it is still hard. It's still hard because it's like, well, especially you can look back. I'm sure this will happen to you. But as you like learn and grow and continue to, I don't know if you say get better at sidewalk counseling. I don't want to say that, but maybe continue to know, like, you know, what's the better tactics and stuff like that.
Right.
You may look back, this happened to me and I was like, oh my goodness, why did I say those things? Like, why was I should have been doing this. This would have been so much more effective or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I didn't do that. And what if I did? But again, you can't let yourself go there.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's also the knowledge you have right now. If you are doing what you're supposed to do from your knowledge you have, like, that's all you can do. Yeah. That's what you should be doing. Hopefully you do grow. Hopefully you do become better at helping these women and counseling these women, but you can't hold it. But I know, but I say that, but it's still hard. But yeah, for people who haven't sidewalk counseled, like, please go out and do it. It's definitely very growing for anybody.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you said you were very hesitant and didn't really want to sidewalk counsel. Kind of share about that. What I know you said, well, that's the very reason why I did volunteer to sidewalk counsel first. Explain that to everybody listening. What inside you is saying, hey, because I don't want to do this, I am going to do this.
I think personally, it's just a command in the Bible we find to help those being led away to the slaughter. And there are lots of things in life that you don't want to do that you should do.
Yes.
True.
Lots of hard things in life that you don't want to do that you should do. And I think, especially growing up, my parents have done a really good job of sort of training me to seek out those things that I don't want to do and do them for that very reason. I think we need to be constantly pushing ourselves as Christians to grow in our faith and share our faith. And so I think in that instance when I was like, I don't want to have to stand outside the abortion mill and sidewalk counsel, I was like, then that means that's something I should probably spend a lot of time practicing and there getting better at. You know, I may never be fully comfortable with it, but it's definitely something that I need to do because I think the Lord can use that to grow me in my spiritual life.
Definitely. Amen. Well, I have a question though on that because I think that's really a good point for everyone to remember and reflect on those things. But also, I imagine someone listening here somewhere is maybe a leader of a team of sidewalk counselors or has other team members are leading through outreach. As you know, we have groups around the country doing this stuff. And what if they think, okay, Ethan wasn't the one having the conversation. He was there with Livy and Elise. So putting themselves in your perspective, if you see team members going with this great kind of loss, how do you, in your opinion, Ethan or Alexi, any ideas for how you lead your fellow team members through this? Because maybe they don't have the same coping mechanism or the same theological understanding yet. So how do you lead them through that kind of loss on those hard days?
Yeah. So I know for me personally, once the lady walked into the building, my fellow intern, Elise, I just saw her just almost collapse and she was just crying. I have never seen Elise cry before.
Yeah.
And so it was like, whoa, this really affected her a lot. So I just went over and gave her a hug and just prayed for her for a minute or two. And just, you know, I told her, you can't hold yourself responsible for what happened. Because again, you just can't sustain that guilt. The other thing I did is I asked Lisbeth, one of, you know, the staff members, to just go talk to her because Lisbeth has a lot more experience with sidewalk counseling and with interacting with people who hold themselves accountable for the women who walk into the building. So I just asked Elizabeth to go talk to her and make sure she was doing okay. But I think in leading your team, you know, really just pressing home that you can't hold yourself personally responsible for the decision that these women make. It's their decision. They ultimately are the ones responsible for that. We can think that it's the wrong decision. They shouldn't do that. We can know the consequences that are going to come from that decision, but it is their decision. We can't hold ourselves for other people's decisions. And we don't do that in other areas of life. And so why would we do it in this particular area of life?
That's a good point. So. And Lexi, what about you? Like having, so Ethan's new ish, although not so new anymore, right? Yeah. But you've been doing this a little longer. So what are your thoughts? Anything to add to that? How to lead a team through despair and challenges?
Yeah, I would just say, help everybody understand there needs to be a separation between the sorrow you feel over the child who's been killed.
Yeah.
And then you feeling like you could actually save that child. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
Because it's almost, which obviously if you're outside about counseling, that's a great thing. And so you're not, I mean, we can do things that are wrong, but don't feel like you're so good or that you can do so many great things and you're going to change these people's minds and all of that. And kind of feel like, you have the power to save this child. Yeah. And if you didn't, then it was all on you. That's almost like egotistical, you know? And I know you don't mean it that way. I know I didn't think I was doing it that way, but it was like, no, who are you, Lexi? Like, you can't really, like, you need to just be here for the women who are going to change their minds. It is up to them. They're the ones going in and they're the ones killing their babies, but you can try to stop them from doing that. Don't be sorrowful over yourself, basically.
Yes.
Be sorrowful over the baby that was killed. Because if Elise collapsed and was like crying over just the hardship, the tragedy of that child dying, that's good.
Yeah.
You should. We should. That's like a normal human emotion to feel whenever somebody's going to be slaughtered. That's right. Mm-hmm. But don't cry over yourself almost, if that makes sense. And I know that's like kind of a hard thing to think about, but don't pity yourself. Don't be like, oh, I didn't do all I could do, you know? You probably did do all you could do. Right. And don't think about yourself. Think about that baby.
No, that's good. It's almost like false humility. Like, maybe not really, but it can be a little prideful. But the thing is, as you said earlier, you want to really analyze and ask, am I doing it well, right? Because if you can actually do a better job, you should.
For sure.
But otherwise, we emphasize and focus so much on ourselves. When that mother is going through a lot, as we all know, right, going that morning, she's seen the signs, she's heard the tone of your voice. Those things matter more probably than the actual content. Not that your content doesn't matter, right? It does matter. I don't think she sees you on every single thing you've said anyway, right? So do your best to make it the most powerful, potent, appealing words that you can. But at the end of the day, it's not about you, as you both said. Yeah. That's really well said. Well, I think we've covered a lot in this. There's a lot more we probably could get to. Ethan, any final thoughts you have from your experience that day or encouragement for others who are considering getting out and doing this stuff?
Yeah. Number one, just go out and do it. I think everyone should sidewalk counsel at least once. You know, not everybody is going to be the type of person who can do that every single day or do it regularly. And I think that's okay. God has given us different gifts. But I think it is something that people should experience at least once in their life. Because again, it is a very serious situation. It's not to a level of seriousness that I don't think a lot of people experience in their life, to be standing outside of a building where babies are being killed while you're standing there. And then again, when you are sidewalk counseling, just with your companions that you're sidewalk counseling with, just be ready to offer them support, you know, when things don't go well, when it's a really hard day. Just be there to kind of step alongside them and say, you know, you are not responsible for this. And, you know, we can grieve over the life that was lost, but also let's get back up and keep going at it.
For sure. That's awesome. Well, I'm just really inspired by your motivation and all the other summer interns' motivation. And I would just encourage anybody who is interested in what we're talking about to come on the Justice Ride this spring, to go on, join us for the summer internship next year. I know it feels like a long way away, but it'll be here before you know it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So make sure you're just thinking about that right now. And you can really push yourself. We can do things that we don't think we can do. We can do hard things that we were like, oh my goodness, I can never do that. Well, you could. We're not better than anybody, I can tell you right now. Yeah. I'm not more skilled than anybody in the world. So if I can do something, you can do something. So make sure you're pushing yourself to do more, to do better, to become more like Christ.
Well said. So hit the show notes for those options of ways you can get involved and things you can do. As Ethan said, just go out and do it. That's what we need to do. Just start doing it. It will become a lot easier for all of us. It became a lot easier after just starting doing it. So thank you all for joining us. We are coming back very soon with a brand new season. So watch for that. Season 2 of The Debrief is coming to you soon. But until then, you can still catch up with us by going to our Instagram or other social media. We're at Debrief with Us. You can also go to createdequal.org for more. We'll be back very soon, though, because we are Created Equal. And this has been The Debrief.